Okay, so welcome to our weekly Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Vayigash. I want to acknowledge Jake and Karen Abelevitz for sponsoring our food and learning today. Le'ilui Nishmas Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avraham. Who has it? Norm. Okay. We have a little bit of a photocopy problem. There's something wrong with the machine in the office today, so I don't have sheets for you. So we'll do it the best we can. And if you have a chumash, at least we'll have some text in front of us to work with. So we're going to start with the psukim in Vayigash. Our parsha is Vayigash. Guys, let's open up. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, so Parsha Vayigash begins on page 250, 251. Okay, all right, in the art scroll it's 250, 251. 169 in the Hertz. If you have an art scroll, so we could take a look at some Rashis together. Let's see. Anybody want an art scroll?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
What?
Recording?
It's for the Tuesday night class, so they put them in. Oh. Okay. Okay. So. There's quite a bit in this morning's Sedra, in this week's Sedra, Vayigash. We, of course, have the brothers are reunited, and Yaakov is going to come back down to Egypt, and lots of good things happening. Let's take a look. I'm going to focus in on one particular Pasuk, chapter 46, Pasuk 15. So that's page 258. So middle of 258, we can actually start to, in the middle of the page there. So the Torah tells us that the brothers, everybody is relocating. Let's start from Pasuk 5. Vayakam Yaakov mi be'er sheva, vayisu b'nei Yisrael et Yaakov avihem ve'etapam et nishahem bagalot, asher shalach paro la'seis oso. And Yaakov arose from Be'er sheva, and the sons of Israel transported their father, as well as their young children and wives, in the wagons which Paro had sent to transport him. They took their livestock and their wealth, and they came to Mitzrayim, Yaakov, v'chol zaro ito. Banav uvnei banav ito, children, grandchildren, daughters, granddaughters, everybody came down to Mitzrayim. The whole kit and caboodle, everybody, lock, stock, and barrel, got up, picked up, and came down. Now the Torah then proceeds to tell us exactly who this lock, stock, and barrel is. And so we read, Ve'elishmos b'nei Yisrael haba Mitzrayim. These are the names of the people. B'chor Yaakov, Reuven, Reuven, Chanochu, Falu, V'chatzor, V'charmi, b'nei Shimon, the children of Shimon were, etc. The children of Levi were Gershon, Kasim, Merari. The children of Yehuda, Er, Onan, Shela, Peretz, Zerach. The children of Yisachar, Tola, Puva, Yavon, V'shimron, etc., etc. And then, Pasuk 15 on the bottom of the page, the pasuk summarizes: Ela bnei Lea, asher yaldal Yaakov b'fadan Aram. These are the children of Lea, right? Because these are the children that we're talking about thus far. These are the children of Lea, who were born to Yaakov in Padan Aram. The dina bito, in other words, the boys and the daughter. Kol nefesh banav uvnosav shloshim v'shalosh. All the children in this subset are 33. And then the pasuk continues with a whole list on page 260. B'nei Gad, etc. B'nei Asher, etc. B'nei Zilpa, etc. And it keeps going. B'nei Binyamin. B'nei Dan. B'nei Naphtali. And then we get to pasuk 26 and we have another summary. So we have the subtotal and now we have the total. Page 20, pasuk 26. Kol ha-nefesh ha-bal Yaakov Mitzrayma Yotzei Yerecho Milvad Neshe B'nei Yaakov. All the people that came down with Yaakov to Egypt, his own descendants, aside from the wives of Jacob's sons, 66 persons in all. So 66 members of the family. Ubnei Yosef asher yulad b'Mitzrayim nefesh shnayim. And Joseph's sons who were born to him in Egypt numbered two persons, so that's 68. All the people of Jacob's household who came to Egypt, 70. So a total of 70 people. So you have Yosef plus his two sons, so that's 68, 69. And then the total is 70. So we have a subtotal, then we have another subtotal, and then we get the grand total. And it is on this numbering of the tribes that came to, of the family that came down to Mitzrayim that has sparked some discussion in the commentaries. We have three numbers. We have 33, and we have 66, and then we have the grand total is 70. So let's start with the 33. So we're not going to count everything up, you know, entirely, but let's at least do this first tranche over here. Page 258. So these are the children who came down with Yaakov, Bechor Yaakov Reuven. So that's one, starting Pasuk 8 and 9 on page 258. Actually, you could do it. So just count up the people here up until Pasuk 15, between 8 and 15. What's that total number? What? Okay. You need a tally chart. All right, anybody get a total? I didn't do well myself. That's why I'm telling you to total it up for me. Till Pasuk 15, where it says, we have 33 people, so I want to just, you know, I want to confirm that it's 33. All right, we'll do it together. Everybody here is apparently number shy. Okay, Bnei Yisrael Abayim Mitzrayim, Yaakov Uvanav, Bechor Yaakov Reuven. That's one. Okay, we can count Jacob. So that's one. Oh yeah, right now this number 33 is just the children, right? So let's just count the children. So Reuven, one. Chanoch, Falu, Chetzron, Charmi. So that's another four. So that's five. Mm-hmm. Bnei Shimon Shimon you have to count, right? So you have Shimon, so that's six. And then Yemuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yachin, Tzohar. So that's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And Shaul ben Akhnanis is 12. Now we get it to Pasuk 11. Levi is 13. Another 3. Gershon Kat Merari is 16. Then Yehuda is 17. Then Er, Onan, Shelah, Peretz, that's 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. What? Oh, thanks. Hold on. Vayamat Er v'Onan, they passed away. Okay, we're just going to count it up once. No comments in the middle, okay? Yeah, all right, here we go. It's like when my nephew was 3 years old, I asked him how much 10 and 10 was, and he said 20, and I didn't even have to take off my socks. All right, so we're not going to take off our socks, but let's just count it up here. So I'm going to do it. You can follow along, starting with Pasuk 9. So we have Reuven is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Shimon, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Levi, 13, 14, 15, 16. Yehuda, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Hold on, 22. Vayamat Erva Onan. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Okay.
But Jacob is missing, so it should be 34.
So no, Jacob is not one of the sons of Leah. So is that in fact? So take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi here. Oh, so apparently the office just. Okay. What? Okay. Yeah, Liz. That's right. So Rashi says here the following. Rashi says, "Ubipratan iatamotze elalamid beis." If you count it up, you only get 32. So who did we double count? So. So Rashi says, you have it either in the Chumash or on the sheet here, in the enumeration of above, you will only find 32. The one whose name is omitted was Yocheved, who was born between the walls, just as they entered the border of the city. As it says, Yocheved, the daughter of Levi in Bamidbar, Yocheved, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bore to Levi in Egypt, she was born in Egypt, but she was not conceived in Egypt. So, I guess we double counted over here. Rashi says, okay, we'll have to take a look at who we double counted or who Rashi's not counting. The total number is 32. The counted number is 33. The total number counted is 70. So if the total number counted is 70, it's really 69 because we're missing one. So Rashi says, who is the missing person? If you're counting 70, so the missing person is Yocheved, Moshe's mother. Okay, why is she sort of counted but not counted? In other words, she is counted but she's not counted. So Rashi says again, in the enumeration above, you will find only 32. The one whose name is omitted is Yocheved, who was born Bein HaChomos, between the walls, B'chnisas al-Ir, as they entered into the city. Right? So he cites the Pasuk in Bamidbar. Okay, so Yocheved is the missing link over here. And the question is, why do we assume that, assuming it is Yocheved, what is the significance of, you know, we're sort of calling out Yocheved. If it is true that we're, that Yocheved is the missing person by the Torah's counting 70, where there's only listing 69 names, so you're missing Yocheved. So there's a reason that Yocheved is being, our attention is being drawn to her, and the question is why. All right, but before we get to that that answer, let's look at this medrash which you have in front of you. We're not going to read the whole thing. Certainly not now, after we spent 10 minutes counting. But let's take a look at this medrash. And the medrash says that the view that Yocheved is the missing link is not the only view. There are four, actually, opinions as who is missing in the count here. Who's number 70 or number 33? Who's number 70? So the Medrash says the following: Kol Nefesh Ubnei Yosef Asher Yulad Lo, Rabbi Levi, the first bold face, Rabbi Levi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Ra'isi Miyamecha Adam Nosen L'Chaver Shishim V'Shisha Kosos V'Chozer V'Nosen Lo Af Shlosha V'Humona Osam Shivim. Do you? It's a way of saying if you have 69 people Can you say it's 70? It's not. 69 is 69 and 70 is 70. Ella ze yocheved shehishlima minyan. The 70th person is indeed yocheved. Okay, so that's, Rashi is citing when Rashi says that yocheved is the missing link. Yocheved is the first, only the first of the opinions of the Medrash, but that's what Rashi is citing. Let's go on. Rabbi Levi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Omar. Yocheved ibura be'eretz Kinaan. Yocheved was conceived in Kinaan, and she was born in Egypt. Okay? So Yocheved is, again, this Bein HaChomos. She was born between the walls. Bein HaChomos. Apparently, in days of old, the ancient cities, people lived inside the wall of the city, and there was an exterior wall and an interior wall. And Yocheved was born here between the walls. But the way the Medrash says, Ibura be'eretz Kinaan, she was conceived in Kinaan. She was conceived in Kinaan, and she was born in here, between the walls, before they actually settled in Egypt. Okay. So that's the first opinion of the Medrash. Let's skip to the second opinion. Yesh Omrim, also in boldface. Yesh Omrim, Yaakov Hishlimi Mahem Esaminyan. Okay, so some say Yaakov is the 70th. Okay, let's just keep it at 70 and 69. So, okay, Yaakov himself is the 70th. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mashal Shtei Legionos Shel Melech, B'Shah Shehamelech Nimna Im Eilu Nimtzu Shleimim, U'B'Shah Shehamelech Od Nimna Im Eilu Nimtzu Shleimim. The point of the matter is that Yaakov, without Yaakov in the, Yaakov is the titular head of the whole clan. So without him, he's missing. So all the people that came along with him are 69. Yaakov would be then the 70th. So, opinion number two, is that when we count up the whole group, Yaakov would have to be counted in the group in order to make it 70. Okay, so that's the second opinion of the Medrash. Omer, the next opinion, also in boldface, Yesh Omrim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hishlemi Mahem Es Haminyan, that God Himself, is. Makes up the group. Hashem himself. So if you count up, you only get to 69, and then you the 70th. So it's Hashem himself. B'taroso Shrabi Meir Matsu. I'm sorry. And now the fourth opinion, the Yesh Omrim, and some say Chush. You'll see how bad I am in math. It's five opinions. Okay. The Yesh Omrim Chushim Ben Dan. And some say it was Chushim ben Dan. Okay, we have number four. Chushim, the son of Dan.
That was that one I'm so happy about.
Right? Yesh Omrim HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben Aminyan. Oh, you're saying he can count for a minion? Right.
That's what I just said.
Right. Right. If you want to get really crazy, the last one is V'yesh Omrim Sarach Bas Asher Hishlima Es Haminyan. Sarach, the daughter of Asher, she made the minion. So she makes the count. Okay, so we have five opinions here. Yocheved. We have Yaakov. We have Hashem, and we have Chushim, the son of Dan, and Sarach, the daughter of Asher. Okay. So, yeah, so it's a good question. Chushim seems to, if you look at the count, Chushim seems to be in the count.
Is he in there?
What? Yeah, if you take a look on page 250, on the second page, he's mentioned Chushim ben Dan. Right. Nevertheless, so some say Chushim is in plural. Maybe there were two people by the name of Chushim. So the question is, what is the significance of this? What is the significance? Who the seven? Clearly, the Torah is drawing our attention that there is a person who's not accounted for who is being accounted for. If it would just listed everybody, nobody else in this list is, you know, are we really concerned about? Because they're part of a big list. But now all of a sudden, one person is drawn apart from the list. It draws our attention to the list. So when the Chachamim, when Chazal tell us that it's either Yocheved or Gad or Yaakov or Hushim or Serach, so there's a message here. There's a message here. So let's start with what I think would be the two easiest ones. Assuming the position that the 70th person is Hashem, well, actually, let me ask you. Do any of these make more sense than the other? Like, if you wanted to make a point that this person was part of the group, or this individual was part of the group, you know, any of these make more sense than any of the others? Okay?
Yaakov.
Right, Yaakov, why? Karen, one second, Karen. Okay.
It's his group.
All right. So, but why would he be set apart from the group in order to draw attention to it? That's the question that I'm asking. In other words, all of these, you know, you could say that they're there for a reason, but why is the Torah drawing our attention to it?
I don't know. Different generation.
What do you want to say?
It's a different generation.
In other words, to make the point that it's that. Right, so okay, multi-generation. Okay, maybe. All right. Yeah, what do you want to say, Bryony?
I think the Yocheved one, maybe the implication is that if she was not, because she bore Moshe into the world, that 70 would have been gone, 69, whatever. He was the savior of the people, and then it grew into this huge nation.
Okay, she's the mother of Moshe, and so we want to draw attention.
That number could dwindle to zero.
The number could dwindle to zero. In other words, without Moshe's mother, exactly. There would be no Moshe. Without no Moshe, there would be no savior of Klal Yisrael.
Right.
So we're drawing attention to Moshe's mother, right? And she plays a very significant role later on when she actually saves him and sends him down the river. So you can take that problem and multiply it on Sarah, because we have traditions about Sarah that she's still alive. I don't know, she was old, you know. Okay? Right, so if you have a problem with Yocheved, you're going to really have a problem with Sarah. Yeah, Chaim.
It's not connected to these. I'm stuck by what we said at the beginning. Yocheved was born Ben Chomos.
Yes.
Why are we interested? That's a very, very, very specific detail along the lines of, yeah, this one was born in the corridor of the hospital outside the operating room. It's a very, very specific detail. But I'm really curious to know, why do we need to know that? What's the significance of being told Ben HaChomos?
Okay, so Chaim points to the fact that all the other positions here, you know, I mean, Hashem is everywhere, but Yaakov, Chushim, Sarach, we're just told that, you know, they exist. With Yocheved, the Medrash tells us exactly where she was born, which makes us wonder what's the significance of that detail, right? Which is worthwhile getting to, yeah. Which we will get to. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
That if she was conceived in Canaan and born in Egypt, she's the link between Canaan and Egypt, which makes sense that she's the mother of Moshe, which is from that.
Okay, good. So she's this transitional. Right, transitional.
The connection between Canaan and between the pre-slavery and slavery, you know, and between Canaan and Israel. So that it makes sense that the son of someone like that would be the one who would bring them back.
Why? Why does it make sense that the son of somebody
she is connected with Canaan in a way that the others.
Oh, she's connected with Canaan. because she was conceived there. So there's a deeper connection to Canaan. Okay, let's hold off on the meaning of that for a second. I want to come back to it, but yes, Paula.
I think it's Hashem.
Okay. Okay, so I think that's a very good point. When the Medrash tells us Hashem is the missing link over here, you know, Hashem is often the missing link in our lives, in the sense that, you know, we may not be as God conscious and God aware as we necessarily could be. So here the Jewish people are going down to Mitzrayim. And the Medrash is sort of pointing out by saying that Hashem is part of this group, that this whole thing is by divine providence. Don't think that this is just by coincidence. This is all divine providence. And what is about to happen, and all the tzaras, is also divine providence. And so this one, I'm saying that Hashem is the missing link. I think there's very good reason for that position of the Medrash. You know, to a very defensible position. Yeah.
I was agreeing with Julie, and in addition to that, I thought, well, she's also the Refuah. She's going to bring, right when they came in, also was the
Refuah before the Makkah, the seed of redemption,
right.
Before the trials and the travails. Okay. So by telling us.
Hashem is bringing in that seed already with.
Right.
We already had the seed to freedom.
Right. Okay. Very good. So Yocheved is that's another point for Yocheved, right? We have three very powerful I think points for Yocheved, that it's the seed of the redemption way before even anybody has redemption on their mind, because there's no persecution yet. There's no slavery yet. So Chazal are basically telling us by assigning Yocheved this role is like, don't think that there's already, you know, Hashem already has put in the place. There's going to be a lot of trials and travails, but Yesh Tikva La'acharisnu Hashem. There's hope at the end. And for the reader, I mean, who are Chazal speaking? Who are the rabbis speaking to? They're speaking to people in the wake of exile after the second Beis Hamikdash. Not all of them, but a good chunk of them were after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash.
Yeah.
And so this is a very powerful statement of encouragement, you know, that Yocheved came along. We are, you know, we are in the wake of destruction. There's a Yocheved has already been born. We don't know who she is, but trust us. There's a Yocheved that's already been born. There's a seed of redemption. So this is a very powerful statement of the rabbis to their own generation, and of course that message is relevant 2,000 years later as well. Yeah.
I would still be defending my position, because if you
go, I think it would be more. Up, yeah, yeah.
Everybody, you can assume the wives were dead already.
The wives were dead.
By Reuben, by Simon, they didn't have wives. So they are not counted. By Levi, he has a wife, she gives birth on the border, but she's not counted. So the wives were counted or not counted?
Right.
They count the sons, they count the father.
The fathers?
Where are the women?
Okay, we can assume for all these what the mothers.
So the only woman we have counted is Dina, and it says these are people aside from the wife, the daughters-in-law. Right?
Yeah,
that what it says
the
here?
The mother of Yocheved is not counted. And she must be alive. She must be alive because she gave birth according to this method.
Right.
So then the count is then completely irrelevant, because more people came in, like 33, maybe 33 Shvatim came in or whatever.
Okay, so that's a broader question, which I'm not prepared to answer today. That there are additional people, but given the fact that this is what the Torah is giving us to work with within this framework, why anybody else wasn't counted, I don't know. But given that this is the framework that the Torah is working with, within this framework, we want to understand the Torah's viewpoint.
It's in the Torah. It says there are 33. Are there 33 we never counted? Was it 33?
Right. So Rashi says there are 32. I must have double counted here.
Okay.
Right. What? Yeah. So what? Yeah. So that's a strike against. That's a strike against Sarah that she's actually listed. Okay. Let's. Okay. So let's just move on here for 1 second. So we have good reasons to say Hashem, like Paula said. Good reasons to say Yaakov, you know, multi-generational. Yaakov is the titular head of the family. We cannot undervalue his contribution to the whole journey. And then we have some very significant reasons to say Yocheved. If I take a look at these two for a second, Chushim and Serach. So Chushim and Serach are problematic because to say that they are the missing link, because both of them are actually, if you read the names, they're in the count. Nevertheless, that problem being a problem and acknowledging it, nevertheless, the Chazal still are emphasizing that. So however you resolve that problem, the question is, why did Chazal assume that this 70th person is Chushim or Serach? What is the significance of that? So there are two famous stories, one regarding Chushim and another one regarding Serach. So the story regarding Chushim is... did I put it here for you? No. The story regarding Chushim is the following. That you might have heard it. This is again a story that's recorded by Chazal. It's not in the Chumash itself. That when the brothers got together, so they're to bury Yaakov. So Esav all of a sudden showed up. Anybody know the story? What? Yes. Yeah, this is the deaf one. Who wants to tell the story? Anybody know the story?
Esau contested the burial of Yaakov in the cave because he had the deed.
Right. Esau contested, this is what we were talking about last week.
Right.
Esau contested the burial of Yaakov in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. He claimed that he was the rightful owner, that he had rights to the cave, and in good Jewish fashion, he said, you know, show me the deed. Give me the paper. I want to see who has title. Who has title? What was written in the will? What does it say? And everybody, you know, and so there was a lot of sort of back and forth on this. And one of the grandchildren, Chushim ben Dan. So Chushim ben Dan apparently was hard of hearing, deaf. He couldn't hear. And he hears what's going on. And he asks his brother, what's happening here? And they respond, well, you know, Esav is contesting the whole thing. And Chushim gets up and he slays Esav on the spot. This is the story, this is the famous Medrash that Esav's head was chopped off and it rolled into Ma'aras HaMachpelah. And who's buried in Ma'aras HaMachpelah? Children are taught in school. The four couples plus the head of Esav. Okay, so what is the significance of that? I think Chushim ben Dan is unable to hear, but apparently, in the minds of Chazal, he's given a great space for defending the honor of his grandfather Yaakov. So why was Chushim ben Dan? What was Chushim ben Dan able to do that everybody else wasn't able to do? Apparently, if you had to sum up in one sentence, what is the greatness, if you will, that Chushim ben Dan is accorded honor in the minds of Chazal? That he killed Esav? You know, killing somebody is not a great thing. Yeah?
Is it possession?
Meaning?
Of the land, of the Machpelah, continuity between Jews and the place.
All right. So on one level, Chushim shows an extraordinary fidelity to the land. Right? He shows fidelity to the land, which everybody else was sort of sitting and bickering and just not getting. not, you know, not doing anything. But he shows fidelity to the land. He also shows extraordinary honor to Yaakov. Now, everybody else wanted to preserve Yaakov's honor, but they sent Naphtali to Egypt to go, you know, to go find the will. So, you know, go find a lawyer. Somebody get it. You know, somebody find a lawyer. Get a copy of the will. Make sure it's notarized so we can come back here. Meanwhile, Yaakov's corpse is lying here on the field. Hushim ben Dan, the child who is particularly described as being without his full faculties, he was impaired, but he was unable to hear. He is the one who is somehow able to cut through all the noise and to be able to act. While everybody is dithering, he acts.
You see, there's a parallel, see, between and Pinchas.
Right, Pinchas is also a person who acts. But it's even more so in this case, because he ostensibly is somebody who doesn't have his full faculties. He can't hear. And despite the fact, or maybe because of the fact,
that he didn't know what was going on.
It's not that he didn't know what he was going on. They explained to him what was going on, and he took action. And he took action. The point of the matter is that this person who seems to have less faculties is actually in a greater position to act and to effect a positive outcome to a very challenging situation. Now think about it again. These are the rabbis speaking to a generation who are in the wake of destruction. And basically, by assigning the 70th person to Hushim ben Dan, And who is this group of people? The 70 people that are going into exile. Right? So Chazal are basically saying that what is the characteristic that is necessary for an effective stay in exile? You need Hushim ben Dan's quality. There's going to be a lot of noise in exile. There's going to be a lot of challenges in exile. There are going to be people that are going to try to put you down and try to keep you down. But you have to be able to, like Hushim, and you will feel that you are not in full faculties because you're a minority, an oppressed minority. You're not living in Eretz Yisrael with sovereignty and your army and your Kohanim and your Beis Hamikdash. No, you are in a less than perfect state, a less than ideal state. You are in this compromised state. Chazal are saying you have within it the capability to act in extraordinary measure. To be, we are basically Hushim ben Dan in a certain sense. We are compromised, but do not believe that our compromised position compromises our position. Don't think that Hushim ben Dan, just like Hushim ben Dan's compromised faculties, did not prevent him from effecting the most positive outcome. So what does it mean to be a Jew in exile? One has to have fidelity to Eretz Yisrael, don't forget the motherland, and number two, have fidelity to Yaakov. In other words, show honor to the tradition, to the generations before. And then thirdly, you have to have the ability to act. Don't be afraid. Just go ahead and act, despite the fact that you might feel that you're compromised. Your compromised position should not compromise your position. And that's Hushim ben Dan. Yeah, as the 70th person.
So there are two things that strike me about that. First of all, he's sort of acting somewhat impulsively, and the Torah doesn't usually praise someone who acts in this way. Pinchas, in a different situation, as he mentioned before, but we don't usually do that. Number two, Esav was not completely evil. The Torah makes a point of saying that his kibbud of the aim, or his kibbud of in particular, was great. So for him, for Hushim to say, I'm taking it upon myself to destroy this human being who has some good qualities and maybe the whole chart on him is not complete, and to do it impulsively brings into question that what he did was an imperfect act.
That's another way of looking at Hushim as a compromised figure, and this is not a positive act. clearly Chazal see Chushim as a in a positive light. And I'm not saying that your interpretation is invalid. You really have to take a look at the whole story of Esav through the eyes of Chazal, and you know maybe on a because the whole story comes to us through Chazal. It's not in the Chumash. If it's a pshat, then you can analyze it on a pshat level. But we don't have the pshat. The whole story emerges from the minds of Chazal. Yeah.
Was Esav denying him burial in the Machpelah, or was he just denying them?
I think he was denying him. I think the way it's worded is that he denies him. He denies him burial, not just denying ownership. Right, that's why the corpse was sitting on the field, and that's why Chushim was standing up for his grandfather's honor, shouldn't be rotting in the field, you know, and should do it what he has to do. What?
Very Antigone.
Very Antigone, but 2,000 years prior. Okay, so. Okay, so there you have. So we have good reasons to say Yaakov. We have very good reasons to say Hashem. Again, let's look at it through the minds of the Chachamim who are giving a message to a generation that is in the wake of destruction, and that message, you know, sort of resonates throughout the years of exile. So Yaakov, Hashem, Chushim, Serach Bas Asher. So I don't really have time to cover her in. At all in an appropriate way. But let's just point out that in this medrash, which you have in front of you, there's a story about Sheva, it brings the story in the Tanakh about Sheva ben Bichri. Does anybody know the story of Sheva ben Bichri? So Sheva ben Bichri was a military attaché of David HaMelech, and there was a question whether he was loyal or disloyal, and they thought that he was rebelling. Maybe he was rebelling against David HaMelech. So they sent out the army, and Sheva ben Bichri gets holed up in a city. This is in Shmuel Beis. I'm just going to read for you a couple of psukim. Shmuel Beis, Parak 20. So Shmuel Beis, I'm just going to read for you a couple of psukim to round out the story for you. So Shmuel Beis, Parak 20, Pasuk 17. Parak 20, Shmuel Beis, Parak 20, Pasuk 17. So let me just read for you a few psukim here. He passed through all the tribes of Israel to Abel and to Beit Ma'akah and to all the... and to all the Beirim, and they gathered together and they followed him. They came and besieged him at Abel of Beit Ma'akah. In other words, they poured a ramp against the city until it stood even within the outer wall. Here we have our outer wall, right? The outer wall and the inner wall of the city. And all the people who were with Ayah began demolishing to topple the main wall. So Sheva was holed up in the city. The army of David had surrounded the city, and they were now going to destroy the city in order to get this guy Sheva ben Bichri. A wise woman called out from the city, "Listen, listen, please say to Yoav, come close to here so that I may speak with you." So she requests a meeting with the head of the army, Yoav. So he drew close to her, and the woman said, "Are you Yoav?" And he replied, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Hear the words of your maidservant." And he says, "I'm listening." She spoke the following: "Your men should have spoken at the start, saying, 'Let them inquire in Abel about surrender, for they would have made peace.' In other words, why are you destroying the city? Why don't you just send word that you want us to turn over Sheva ben Bichri? And we certainly would do so. I represent the loyal, faithful people of Israel. You are seeking to annihilate a metropolis in Israel. Why will you swallow up the heritage of Hashem? In other words, why are you going to destroy the city?" Yoav answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so. Rather, a man from Har Ephraim, whose name is Sheva ben Bichri, has raised up his hand against King David. Turn over him alone, in other words, give him up, and I will go away." The woman then said to Yoav, "Behold, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." That's such a pleasant thought. And in her wisdom, the woman then went to all the people, and they beheaded Sheva, and they threw it to Yoav. The gruesomeness of this aside for the moment.
And then they ate.
And then they ate, right. Right. That's like when they dumped Yosef into the pit. And they dumped Yosef into the pit, and the Pasuk says, and then they ate. Right? So exactly. He sounded the shofar, and they all disbanded from the city, every man to his tents, and Yoav then returned to Jerusalem to the king, etc. So here we have this story about a city under siege, and in this case it's, you know, a Jewish army, you know, besieging a Jewish city, but here you have a city under siege, and there's one person who figures out how to save the city, and that's this woman who requests the meeting with Yoav. And according to the rabbis, this woman is Sarah ben Asher. So she's old, okay. Right? So if that is the case, again, that we have to go into the minds of the Chachamim. The Chachamim are the ones who are telling us that, you know, this missing person is Cheder, Yaakov, or Asher, or Chushan, or Sarah. Right? So they're the ones who assign the identity of this woman in the siege, who saves the city, to Sarah ben Asher. So again, if you think about it from this perspective, Sarah ben Asher, and there are others, there are quite a few other stories that Chazal assigned the identity to Sarah ben Asher, Ba'bas Asher. So it makes a lot of sense that they would say that this missing person is Sarah ben Asher. Again, Chazal are speaking to a generation in the wake of the Churban, and they're saying, you know, who's the 70th person going into Galus? What do you need for redemption? Well, you need a smart lady, you need a smart woman, you need somebody who is able to work the system, because you're going to be in exile for 2,000 years up until now, and maybe even now you could argue maybe it's necessary as well. I don't know. But for two millennia, you know, Jews had to be able to work the system just to survive, right? That's Sarah ben Asher, Bas Asher. She knew how to work the system, and I don't mean in a devious way. You don't just sit down and lie down. If you want to survive, you're going to have to work with the powers that be and figure out who they are, how to get a hold of them, how to talk to them, what to say to them, what's going to work, and that was Sarah Bas Asher. So we have, and we don't have time, but there are other stories of Sarah Bas Asher to say why Chazal would have said that 70th person leading you into exile is Sarah Bas Asher. So don't forget Hashem in exile, or understand that the exile is part of the divine plan. Yaakov, fidelity to our forebears. Chushim ben Dan, he has fidelity to the land, fidelity to his forebears, and he knows and he acts. He's just not a Luftmensch. He acts. When everybody else might be dithering, when Nero, what do they say about Nero?
Fiddle.
When everybody else is fiddling, so Nero fiddles. He plays the guitar, whatever. So and then Sarah Bas Asher. Each one of these has an important quality. I want to conclude with going back to Yocheved. So take a look in your Chumashim on the page that I gave you. On the bottom of the Medrash, I gave you, it says additional texts. There are four Rashis I want to look at very quickly. The first Rashi is the one which we saw, Brachos 46:15. Then I'll take a look at Rashi in 46:27. So that's 46:27, page 260. Okay, what does Rashi say here? Kol ha-nefesh ha-bali Yaakov. No, sorry. Where is it? 46:27. Just get to the... okay, it's about four lines from the bottom of Rashi on the right-hand column. The Torah now has told us about all the people that have come down to Egypt with Yaakov, and... And Rashi says, "Kol ha-nefesh lebeis Yaakov haba Mitzrayim ha-shivim." There were 70 people. Lefi shematzu sham Yosef u'shnei banav v'nitosva lahem Yocheved ben Hachomos. Second time, Rashi goes out of his way to tell us that the 70th person is Yocheved. He just told us this two psukim earlier. Rashi's telling us again that the 70th person was Yocheved. Take a look in Shmos, chapter 2, Pasuk 1, page 290. Another Rashi. Shmos, chapter 2, Pasuk 1. Page 292, 292. And these are the names of Israel that are coming down to Mitzrayim. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, etc., etc. And take a look at what Rashi says here. Rashi says, where is it? Yeah, hold on a second. Right, there's what, where he says over here that again he mentions Yocheved as the 70th person. Alright, I don't see it. Alright. And then one more, let's see if I got this one right. Bamidbar Rashi 26:59. Bamidbar 26. Page 7, 18, 20, Bamidbar. No, sorry, Bamidbar. Bamidbar chapter 26, that's 884. Let's see if I got this one right here. Yeah. Okay, so Pasuk 59. V'shem Eshes Amram, the wife of Amram, is Yocheved, the daughter of Levi. Asher Yalta Oda Levi b'Mitzrayim. Levi bore her in Mitzrayim, and Amram and Yocheved together then had Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. So take a look at Rashi, 59. Asher Yalda Oda Levi Ishto Yalda. So first of all, it was his wife, not him, Rashi. B'mitzrayim. Leidasa b'mitzrayim. Ve'ein horasa b'mitzrayim. She was born in Egypt, but she was not conceived in Egypt. Kishenichnesu l'toch hachoma. When they entered the walls, that's when she was born. And she, hishlima minyan shivim, she makes the full complement of 70. So multiple times, Rashi tells us it's Yocheved, it's Yocheved, it's Yocheved. Which is pretty interesting. Rashi, it's not so common that Rashi will say the same thing multiple times, especially in a cluster. So Rashi really believes, or Rashi is gunning for the first approach of the Medrash, that our 70th person is Yocheved. Not Yaakov, not Hashem, not Chushim, not Sarah. But it was Yocheved. So what is it about Yocheved? So I think that certainly what we said before, she represents this transition figure, that she has a connection to Eretz Yisrael. She is the seed of redemption, and that she is and that without her we're going to go from 70 down to zero. The story ends. So she is given extraordinary due here, for all the reasons that we pointed out. Now the question about, between the chomot, between the walls here. So I think that, so anybody have a thought about that? Why do we tell that she's, between the walls? So,
it's interesting how she never gets to go into Israel,
right,
into the walls.
Because she's hidden from Ehud, so like you can't see her. Because she has a role to play later on.
Right. So in a certain sense, Yocheved is a behind-the-scenes person. She's between, she's between the Bein HaChomos. Without her, there's no Moshe. Without her, there's no Moshe being born. Without her, there's no Moshe being saved. Without her, there's no Moshe being weaned, right? The Chazal tell us that that Paro takes them as nursemaids. That's all behind the scenes. So she's a powerful figure, but her powerful figure is always like Bein HaChomos. It's between the walls. Again, going to the minds of Chazal, that when we're seeking hope
for, you know, during difficult times. It's not always about it's not always about rising up with a banner. It's sometimes, and maybe many times, having to go between the walls and figuring out how to make it happen. The quiet leader, the small L leader, rather than the big, you know, charismatic leader, also has an important role. Maybe sometimes an even more important role. Yeah, Norm.
Well, you don't know where it's coming from, but it's going to come.
Right, and you don't know, right, and you don't know where it's coming from. Rashi says three. I didn't see the fourth one, but at least three times. Beinachomos, beinachomos, beinachomos. That's an important message for going into exile. And there's also the notion. I wouldn't say not that she's connected back to Eretz Yisrael more than anybody else. I want to take it from a different perspective, that Beinachomos is essentially saying a person who is always in transition. That is the Beinachomos, is the transition. Nishtahim, you know, Nishtahem. And Moshe is the one who has to transition Bnei Yisrael from Avdos to Cheres, from slavery to liberty, right? And that is the Mida of Yocheved. She's the transitional figure. She's the one who goes from Canaan to Mitzrayim. That's also a transition. But going from Canaan to Mitzrayim is the flip side of Mitzrayim back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Mida of Yocheved, which is necessary, right? You can't just jump into liberty. You require that ability to be able to make that jump. And that is the koach, that's the power of Yocheved. And so it makes a lot of sense that Chazal would attribute this missing link, the 70th person, to Yocheved. Rashi says it over and over again. I saw something, and with this I'll conclude. Just going to read to you Rabbi David Kasher. I spoke to, I mentioned him last week as well. He writes the following. I'm just going to read it to you. He says, there is a possible reason why Rashi might have favored the Yocheved story above all the others. It says, Rashi, it is well known, had no sons and three daughters. Okay. But that doesn't tell us why Sarah, why Yocheved and not Sarah. So he had three daughters. They each married one of Rashi's finest students and went on to give birth to the next generation of outstanding French Talmudists, what we call the Balei Tosafot. Many studies have claimed that he was particularly close to these daughters and even went out of his way to give them a rich Jewish education, which would have been unusual for women in those days. Again, this is, you know, his writing. I don't know the sources for these. There's sort of a well-known story that Rashi's daughters were a tefillin. Okay, now Rashi's eldest daughter, who was surely already born when he was writing this commentary, was named
Yocheved.
Right? So one presumes he could hardly have read these Yocheved stories without thinking of his beloved firstborn. Did he choose to repeat them so often in his commentary as a tribute to her? Or was it the opposite? Did he already know and love these Midrashim when she was born and name her for them? If so, then what, one wonders, were the circumstances of this Yocheved's birth? Was Rashi's family traveling at the time? Did they face some kind of danger or hunger, etc.? Perhaps it was that Rashi already intended, contrary to cultural norms of his time, to raise this girl to become a Torah scholar. Yocheved then would have to walk a fine line. She would be expected to be a pious daughter of a renowned rabbi, to marry one of his students, dutifully raise their children, but she would also be able to hold her own as a thinker, teacher, and leader in her community. This is Rabbi Kasher's, thoughts. She would be a woman both of her time and beyond it, like Moshe Rabbeinu himself, but more so like Moshe's mother, Yocheved. This Yocheved too would exist in a space straddling the threshold between the past and the future. So an interesting speculation, a thought from Rabbi Kasher. But it seems to me, the Torah draws our attention to this missing 70th person for a reason. Chazal try to fill in that reason, what it is, whether it's Yocheved, Yaakov, Hashem, Chushim ben Dan, or possibly Serach, Bas, Asher. Yeah. Yeah.
All these people disappeared. They all died.
Well, everybody dies.
The only one who doesn't die is Hashem.
That is correct. Right, that's correct. So all of these people are human and finite. And the only one that exists forever is Hashem. Unless Sarah is still around, right? Okay. I,